You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with the fear of the Lord.
Psalm 111. I'm going to read two verses of scripture. First, I was just going to read verse 10, but there's another one here that mentions the fear of the Lord as well. Psalm 111 and verse 5 says, He, referring to God, He giveth meat unto them that fear Him, and He will ever be mindful of His covenant. That word meat there means, the Amplified says, food and provision to those who reverently and worshipfully fear Him. So one of the reasons why you want to fear the Lord, because He will take care of you and provide for you. You can have no doubt about that when you're walking in the fear of the Lord. But verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. And so I want to go back into, this is part two of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And what has prompted me to preach and to teach on this is that I really have had a general concern for the body of Christ. The body of Christ in terms of all the foolishness that's gone on in the church. All this green leaf madness. Okay. And as far as, if you have no experience in this, for those of you who watch Greenleaf, a couple of my kids just got turned on to it, and they've been binge watching it and stuff. And for those of you who have no connection with that, and because you know me and know of your church and you know, got to know us, and maybe you came from a pastor's family or nothing like that, it's still too sad to say a lot of this foolishness is going on. And sometimes worse. And it's not just new to this time and this era, because Paul writes into the church of Rome, and he said, Corinthians, he said, y'all doing stuff that not even named among the sinners. Y'all creating new kind of sins in the church that the folks who ain't even out the church ain't even thought about. Okay? And so I really have this, you know, and you know, there's a part of me that says, don't talk too much about this. Don't become specific about it, because, you know, some of y'all, you don't need to hear this stuff, and the world talks enough about us, and we don't need to talk about it. But the truth of it is, see, if I don't deal with this stuff and you don't know my stand on it, see, you start looking at me, especially now I'm going back to be a bishop. Now you think I'm Bishop Greenleaf. Okay? So if I don't teach you and let you know my standard on this kind of stuff, you'd be looking at me cockeyed. Yeah. Because if sometimes when you don't know, whatever's put in front of you, you start becoming suspicious. Like, you know, if you think everybody, because you heard of a crooked car salesman, you think all car salesmen aren't crooked. All the car salesmen aren't crooked. Because you heard of a crooked politician, all the politicians don't have to be crooked. Because you heard of politicians who assault women, that doesn't necessarily mean all the politicians are assaulting women. You follow me here. And you need to understand the same thing about the church. So some of this stuff I do need to expose. And some of y'all, you're wondering why, you know, yeah, how come you ain't had this one, had that one? Because sometimes I know stuff about these folks y'all don't know about. And I'm not going about to condone that stuff by giving them another platform. See, I can't control everything that's going on in the body of Christ, but I can have an influence over what I have authority over. Stephen Covey, that wrote the book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, talked about one of the things that highly effective people do is understand the difference between your sphere of influence versus your sphere of concern. Your sphere of concern can be world hunger. Your sphere of influence may be making sure your kids eat every night. Your sphere of concern could be about Africa not having uncontaminated water. Your sphere of influence may be making sure that y'all got good, clean water in your subdivision. And so, to be effective, I can't affect what's going on in the whole world, but I can affect and ideally influence those who I have influence over, who come and listen to me, on Sundays and Wednesdays or on the radio or watch me on television, whatever, that I can have influence. And so I was asking the Lord, I said, why is all this foolishness going on in the church? Is it that people no longer know what sin is? No, I don't think that's it. Is it that everybody's just making mistakes and they don't mean to do it? That ain't it either. I said, Lord, what's the issue? And the Lord said, people have lost the fear of God. People no longer fear me. Now, there's an extreme fear of the terror of God that we was raised in as a child. It's basically, you know, we thought anything, everything, it's like anything and everything you did could send you to hell. I mean, like we walked around every day just trying not to slip into hell. Lord, could be a hell trap here, a hell trap there. And we went to bed every night saying, if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Because you don't know if that day you may have committed a sin of omission. That's what you omit to do, or commission, what you committed doing. I don't believe that's not a healthy relationship with God. That's not a healthy relationship with your spouse. Come on now. I mean, I need to have a certain amount of security in my marriage that every time Pastor Marcia go to the supermarket, she didn't leave me. Come on now. That if she ever stopped to get gas and somebody holler at her, she gonna holler back and run off into the sunset with him. Come on. I need to have a certain amount of security that we good. Come on now. Come on. This is a marriage. We're good. I love her. She loves me. Amen. And you need to be secure in your relationship with God to know that when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the Bible said that that the blood of Jesus continues to wash us and cleanse us from all sin. So, you know, if I made a mistake, it's not going to send me. No. Because I have fellowship with him. Because I have fellowship with the Father. He continues to wash me and his blood continues to atone for me. And yet, we read the scripture last week from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in verse 26 said, but if we sin willfully, after we know the word of God, after we've given our life to Jesus, after we know what it is to be saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, if we do that, then the blood is no longer atoning for that. He said, you can look forward to some kind of judgment. Now, the God of the New Testament, people say God don't change. He changed some. Because he ain't quite the God he was in the Old Testament. Now, come on, that Old Testament God, he didn't play. Come on now. And he told the people, he said, don't y'all play with it either. He said stuff like, you hear somebody a witch, kill him. He said, a witch shall not live. We know, and now we got folks, y'all working all kind of roots. We ain't killed y'all. Down there from the low country. It's in your family and you just do stuff and you're still sprinkling salt when you get mad at folks and all that kind of, that's witchcraft. Trying to manipulate people through spiritual forces. Okay? And, so God, the New Testament God, he's more long-suffering. Amen. A picture of God from the Old Testament, David realized this. He said his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. So he gives us more favor than he gives us anger. His anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. Now, I heard somebody preaching on this. It said, somebody who is probably one of the foremost grace teachers today. And he was teaching us, he said, so God is still a God of judgment, but he's a God of grace more than he's a God of judgment. He's a God of mercy more than he's a God of judgment. And he quoted the scripture, for his favor is for life, but his anger is but for a moment. And I got to meditating on that. I said, what moment do I want God angry with me? Since his anger is but for a moment, how much of that moment you want? Think about it. People do all kinds of things in a moment of anger. Come on. There's people in jail right now. They never did it before. They would never do it after. They call that a crime of passion. Do you want God to have a crime of passion on you? Oops, sorry. No, no, no. So I made up my mind. I want to walk in the favor of God. Amen. All the time. And there's some things that I can do to set up the blessing of God in my life. Now, at the end of the day, the scriptures still say he blessed who he wants to bless and he'll curse who he wants to curse. We always quote, he blessed who he wants to bless. But he also said, I'll curse who I want to curse. And so, the one hand is this awful terror that we think anything we do, God's waiting to zap you. That ain't true. The other extreme is, God loved me. He don't care. He don't care if I commit adultery. Ain't nothing going to happen because he loved me. Yeah. I know I shouldn't be robbing God, but I can, you know, if I decide to take my tithe down to the strip club instead of tithe, it don't matter because God loved me. And I know this sounds crazy, sounds extreme, but people are living like this in the church. Who I'm talking to right now, I'm not talking to sinners. I got a word for you at the end of the message. Come to Jesus. I'm talking to the Christians. Those of us who are taught the word, know the word. Come to this church, been in this church for years. Amen. Who have known the word of God. So the Bible talks about in Hebrews 10, I'm still reviewing from last week. It says that verse 29, when we despise the grace that is given us, is what I'm calling being a grace abuser. Verse 29 says, of how much sore punishment shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant, this new covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite to the spirit of grace. These are people who abuse grace. Who says, because God loves me, I can do anything, act any way, sleep with who I want to sleep with. Divorce, remarry. Ah, Jesus, help me, Lord. Without ever thinking, what's God saying? Hebrews 10, 30 and 31. And let me say this about divorce. I'm not trying to put him out in condemnation. You're in your second wife, you're in your third husband. Okay, fine. The Bible said, a songwriter said, if you can't be the one you want, if you can't love the one you want, love the one you're with. That's what I got to say. If it's second or third, just love the one you're with. But watch this. Now, I'm talking myself. I'm talking how I judge myself. You do what you want to do. My wife and I, we've had challenges over the years. Amen. She still has challenges with me. I don't have no challenges with her. But she still got challenges with me. Okay? We've had some intense times of fellowship. I'm sure there's time and because we know what to say and what not to say. I'm sure there's some thoughts he had in some days. What in the world did I do by marrying him? If I didn't, you know, but we wouldn't ever verbalize anything like that. And yet, we plan to be together until Jesus comes or death do us depart. In part, because this marriage ain't just about us. This marriage is about y'all. This marriage is about my children. This marriage is about my grandchildren. And watch this. And at the end of the day, though we don't go around saying it every day, we know the scripture says, God says, I hate divorce. That's what God said. Because one of the definitions, one reason I pointed that out, because one of the definitions I gave you for about the fear of the Lord, it came from Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the forward mouth do I hate. So when you walk in the fear of God, I hate what God hates. And I love what God loves. Say that. Say, I hate what God hates. And I love what God loves. So when I walk in the fear of God, I got to make myself hate what God hates. And I got to make myself love what God loves. Because so once I see it's in the word, I got to say, God, man, I want to do this, but your word says I can't do this, or I'm not supposed to do this. And since I fear you, your word has weight in my life. Your word influences my decisions. Are y'all with me here? So the fear of the Lord causes me to walk in respect and honor towards him and to his word, and that his opinion matters most in my life. So when we don't fear the Lord, we risk becoming what I call grace abusers. Romans 6, 1 and 2, Paul says, oh, because God loves you, because we're in the grace now, shall we continue in sin? Just go ahead and live any way you want? Because grace abounds, because there's more grace than there's more sin, because there's more grace than his judgment, shall we just abuse the grace? Verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, the believers, live any longer therein? He said, why would you want to keep on living the way that you don't have to live anymore? When God has given you the victory and brought you up out of that and brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light, when he's renewed your mind. Because if we don't fear the Lord, which means to have that reverence for him, that respect for him, that honor for him, that his word and his opinion becomes weighty to us, we risk disrespecting God, or what I call being a grace abuser. Look at Luke 12. Lord gave me this one in between services. Luke 12. You know, my teacher, my first teacher, Mother Bailey, is always in my ear. It's always in my ear. And I heard her voice today saying, he that knoweth to do and doeth it not shall be beaten with many stripes. She was always telling me, you know the word. You know. You know. You know. You got a calling. He that knoweth to do right and don't do it shall be. So I heard that. I went looking for it in between services. Here it is here. Luke 12, starting at verse 42. And it says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward who I shall make ruler over his household? He said, to give them their portion of meat in their due season. Portion of meat means I'm going to provide for you. That sounds like what I read earlier. That he giveth meat to those that fear him. Verse 3, 43. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Not used to do, but I'm doing what I need to be doing right now because I know I should be doing it. Of the truth I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. That sounds like promotion, doesn't it? But and if that servant, the servant, saying, my Lord delayeth his coming. Oh, is that what's going on? How would you live today if you knew Jesus was coming back tonight? What would you change? Would you move out? Would he have to go? Y'all ain't hearing me here. How would you live differently today if you knew Jesus was coming tonight or coming in the morning? And so he says, in this case, the person says, my Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken. He ain't come back no time soon. Eat, drink, be merry. Cuss everybody out. Kick everybody so and so. Treat folks any kind of way. That's what he's talking. Because he says, the Lord is delaying his coming. I get as drunk as I want to get. Get as high as I want to get. Verse 46, but the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in sunder. Okay, that sounds like judgment, some kind of judgment. And will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Oh, you need to understand. He's talking about believers. He's saying the believer who ends up being judged like an unbeliever. Do you see that? This is not talking about sinners. He said, this person ends up getting judged just like the unbelievers because he disrespects God. And the Bible tells us, I read it all the time. Y'all should be able to quote it by now when we have communion, 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged with the world. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. So we won't be judged with the world. So God said, you can correct yourself. Do some self-maintenance, do some self-inventory, some self-judgment of yourself so you don't have to end up being judged like an unbeliever. Now, this is not talking about going to hell. I ain't arguing with you about going to hell. Okay? I ain't going to hell. I'm saved. You can't tell me I ain't saved. You can't tell me. I mean, anybody want to argue? You can't tell me. Just because I. How many just because I do you have? Just because I whatever don't mean I ain't saved. Just because I whatever. How many just because I's you going to keep trying to defend? So the Lord of that servant come, poured him a portion with the unbelievers. Verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will. Oh, these are those who know the word. This ain't talking about somebody who wasn't raised. Don't know anything about the Lord. This don't somebody just coming out of don't know anything about Jesus. Just got here today, and you don't know anything about what the Word says. God, you don't know anything about God's moral standards, about God's expectations of you. That's not who he's talking about. He's talking this somebody who knew his Lord's will, but he prepared not himself. Ask your neighbor, are you preparing yourself? He prepared not himself, neither did according to his will. Know the word. But didn't prepare himself, neither did he do according to the word. Come on, his mother Bailey's quote. Come on, read it with me. Shall be beaten with many stripes. Oh, so if I know, but I act like I don't know and live like I don't know, there's a beating coming. Do any of y'all have parents who just used to hold a beating over your head? I'm like, you know, you want to say, let's do it. Let's get it over with. Feeling froggy, jump. Don't keep telling me all month, you know I owe you a whipping. Do it. That's how I felt. You know, you couldn't say that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But because you knew one was coming, it made you walk circumspectly. Just maybe if I walk right and talk right and treat everybody right, maybe she'll forget that she promised me a whooping for having all red marks on that test. Come on, if you know it's a possibility of a whooping, it ought to make you get right. But see, today, everybody telling us we won't be whipped. There's no judgment. And because we're getting mixed up, the judgment of sin and eternal damnation versus the punishment or judgment for disrespecting God, for ignoring him. He said, going to be beat with many stripes. Verse 48, he says, and he who knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, this is the person who's ignorant, shall be beaten with few stripes. So the believer can end up being judged harshly, that's from in this life, than the unbeliever. Because God said, now you knew better. Any of y'all ever get to you know better whipping? Now, how many times do I have to tell you I done told you over and over and over and over and over, and I'm tired of telling you the same thing because you know better. Man, I'm so glad my mama wasn't college educated, that she didn't have no large vocabulary words, because I got whipped for every syllable. Good thing she didn't know no big words. Can you imagine this? You have frustrated me. You think the words that I speak to you are ambiguous? Thank God my mom wasn't college educated. Because I got whipped for every syllable. Many stripes. But look at this, end of verse 48. For unto whosoever much is given, of him much is required. The more words you know, the more God requires of you.
When we have reverential fear of God, we'll do right because it's right. We shouldn't fear God because of punishment, but because we love Him and want to abide by His principles. Dr. Herbert Bailey calls us back to a place of respect and fear of the Lord. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Fear of the Lord.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.